Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today's day is Friday, July 14th. And today we're reading from the Big Book. We are on page 93, paragraph 2, beginning 8 lines down with "To be vital, faith must be accompanied by self-sacrifice," and ending with the end of the paragraph, "General principles common to most denominations." Today's readers are Pavonia W. for the 12 steps, Laura W. from Ohio for the 12 traditions, Laura W. from New Jersey will read our text, Julie E. B., and Yvonne A. are also here as readers. And so the reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 20442. And the reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 20440. VOA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I'll ask Pavonia W. to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Yes, good morning. This is Kevana W. from Pennsylvania, compulsive overeater. The 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understand him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you. This is Kevana.
Thank you very much, Kevana W. Okay, and I will now ask Laura W. in Ohio to please read the 12 traditions for us.
Good morning. It's Laura W. from Ohio, gratefully recovering. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Least problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Number 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Number 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Number 9, OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. Number 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. Number 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. Number 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, Laura W. from Ohio.
Thank you so much, Laura W. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery that are described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. Have a quiet meeting. Everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 93, paragraph 2, beginning 8 lines down with to be vital. Faith must be accompanied. And I will ask Laura W. from New Jersey to please read our reading for us.
Thanks, Elaine. Good morning, everyone. This is Laura W. from South Jersey. I'm a recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic. To be vital, faith must be accompanied by self-sacrifice and unselfish constructive action. Let him see that you are not there to instruct him in religion. Admit that he probably knows more about it than you do, but call to his attention the fact that however deep his faith and knowledge, he could not have applied it, or he would not drink. Perhaps your story will help him see where he has failed to practice the very precepts he knows so well. We represent no particular faith or denomination. We are dealing only with general principles common to most denominations. Yeah, great part of this paragraph. The word vital, to be vital, I've learned over the years that vital means life-giving and life-saving. Our vitals are our heart and our blood pressure, and if they're not working, we're not living. So to be life-saving, which means our faith, our surrender to a higher power, is going to be what saves us, not necessarily the fact that we're not eating certain substances or drinking alcohol. To be vital, faith has to be accompanied by self-sacrifice and unselfish constructive action, which tells me that faith isn't enough. If faith was enough, we wouldn't have priests, ministers, rabbis, nuns in this program who are addicts, and we do. So, my faith, even though I grew up in a religious home and practicing a specific religion, it wasn't enough to save me from my eating disorder. However, once I returned to my faith, it still wasn't enough. Why? Because it has to be accompanied by, yes, the substance has to be down, but it has to be accompanied by self-sacrifice and unselfish constructive action. So here in this paragraph, we're talking about, at this point, we're dealing with a new prospect, and we're into that conversation. We've already told them our experience. We've already had them identify in. Now we're starting to talk about the faith part, you know, And it's not really a faith part. The entire program is spiritual. But to jump down somebody's throat and say, well, I've got religion and that's what you need, and when we start working with somebody, my experience is that doesn't work. So let them see that you're not there to instruct them in religion. So, I mean, they may have more knowledge about religion. There's atheists and agnostics that recover just as well as anybody else in this program. So however deep my faith is and however smart I am when it comes to religion, I could not have recovered without surrendering to that higher power. And perhaps your story will see where he has failed. And the fact is that this is all about identifying in. This is all inclusive, never exclusive, is what it tells us. And, you know, it says deep down in every man, woman, and child is a fundamental idea of God. So once I realized that this is spiritual, this is not about religion, I was able to surrender, and I was able to see that, you know, this is not just about putting down the substance. It's about self-sacrifice. It's about giving my time, which is the most difficult thing for me to give. I heard somebody share this morning, and I was like nodding my head. My time and my sleep are the two things that, you know, God forbid you take those things away from me, but that's what I need to give in order to continue. You know, the general principles are, you know, faith, love, hope, charity, self-sacrifice, generosity, all the things that this book tells us to do. Thank you. It's about getting out of self. So thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you very, very much, Laura W. Great start off to our meeting. Though we value everybody's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you would like to comment on page 93, paragraph 2, starting with the eighth line down, to be vital, then I will take your name and number. And yes, Elaine, I did hear you. Thank you very much,
okay.
Elaine G. Anybody else?
Shlomit Hana B.
Shlomit Hana.
Debbie V.
Debbie Z, was it?
V as in victory.
Yay, victory.
Thank you.
Thank you, Debbie.
Ian F.
Shay D.
Baby.
Julie E.B.
Okay, let me tell you what I got. I've got Elaine G, Shlomit Hana B, Debbie V, Ian S, Shay D, Julie E.B. And did I miss anybody? Okay, fabulous. Well, we'll get started with Elaine G and be followed by Shlomit Hana. Please share with us, Elaine G.
Yeah, hi, everybody. This is Elaine G from New York. I haven't been on here for a while, you know. Anyway, I can relate to this. And about you're working with others in the chapter there, and this one specific one on 93, to help others, they're talking about the alcoholic here, not to stress God, you know, just to say that, because this is how it was for me, that going into the rooms, there's something in the rooms there, that you're listening to people, it helped you. Not the God thing, because that a lot of times would turn right off, and how... you know, the meeting, the steps, this and that helped a lot. And, you know, and to share my experience, my strength, and my hope. And I guess that's about it for me. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much, Elaine G. Okay, Shlomit Hana B is up next, followed by Debbie V.
Can you hear me?
Yes, you sound great.
Okay, thank you so much. Thank you for your service to the moderator, to the timekeeper, and thanks everybody for being on this meeting. Very, very grateful. And boy, oh boy, did I need to hear that reading today. I needed to hear it, and I needed to look at it with my own eyes. What really captured me was that first line that we read. To be vital, faith must be accompanied by self-sacrifice and unselfish constructive action, especially the words self-sacrifice and unselfish. Those are words that I've been contemplating a lot this week. I had the opportunity to be in the presence of somebody who is a completely, completely selfless person with no ego and pure humility. And that really impressed me and jarred me into my own reality of where I have been in my own disease. You know, in step three, it talks about the selfishness and the self-centeredness of the addict. And when I say that, you know, I used to really have a problem with the word selfish in the big book because I was called, that was the word that was used to shame me. And I understand now that when we use the word selfish in the big book, we're talking about being so wrapped up in self and being self-led and not God-led. We're not listening to what's around us. And I realize that I have been in that position, in that so completely occupied with self and what I want and what I don't have and will I ever get, you know, just all of this stuff in my head that has really closed me off from doing service. I was told, and when I say service, I mean people in program, but I also mean my family. I was told by my sponsor, I've been told by several sponsors that I've worked with, that the most important service that I can do is to my family. And I really saw clearly when I saw this person who was so humble and other-centered that I have not been doing service for my family in a pure and unselfish way. And you know, I'm not saying this to beat myself up. It's really, I'm just noticing. Thank you. I'm just noticing that, and grateful to be hearing about unselfishness, because that's really who I want to be. So thank you for listening.
Thank you very, very much, Somitana. Deb V is up next, followed by Ian F. Please share with us, Deb V.
Thank you so much. That's okay. Thank you so much. And yes, feeling victorious in the moment. Thank you, higher power. I'm gratefully recovering in Virginia. And I am just so grateful this morning. What I'm hearing is in my heart, I'm noticing that I'm now part of the human race. And it has been a very, very much a life of isolation for me. And this passage reminds me that the psychic change, the personality change, there has been a personality change, and it's been a result of dying. It's as if I have died and I've come back. It's a reforming. Today, when I was finished working with someone, I was able to look them in the eye. That's one of the promises, to look into their heart and to feel something that I've never felt before, and that's a common existence, and I feel that way with all of you. I feel like I'm part of something now, not a part, but part of something, and it's this big creative entity which is animated for me by a power greater than self, and I'm in the flow of life now that's mentioned in the big book. I'm now feeling the flow of life, and now I think beyond my limited self. And when that's not there, that type of thinking, I can see the difference now. It's progress, not perfection. And it's a whole different life. Losing our daughter has opened me up in a way that things are just making more sense. I feel like I've grown up with all of you, and that I'm here and I'm present and I'm caring for self, not in a selfish way, but a self-preserving way, so that I can give to you what I have already, what I have with my higher power. And it's such a beautiful existence. Thank you for listening. And I do feel victorious. And when each of you feels victorious, I feel victorious. So may you feel victorious. Thank you so much.
Thank you too very much, Debbie V. Okay, ENF, you are up next, and you'll be followed by Shay D.
Hey all, my name is ENF. Hi.
Thanks.
My name is ENF. I'm a compulsive overeater. Thank you, everyone who's doing service, and everyone who's sharing, and everybody who's on the line. I feel like this week in particular, I haven't had a single idea that got me anywhere. That's kind of what this paragraph reminds me of. You know, when the book talks about step one, and even before step one, just like what our disease is like. It's a disease centered in the mind. And like with the food, with my relationships with people, my life before program was just self-imposed crisis after self-imposed crisis. You know, I mean, nothing ever happened to me that was bad, but I mean, like that is really the heart of where I'm screwy, you know, is in my head. So as a newcomer, or talking to a newcomer, the idea that like my ideas about this is what a higher power is, this is what religion is, these are my morals and my philosophies, those are all well and good, but clearly if they worked, I would not be here. So the idea that it has to be accompanied by self-sacrifice and unselfish constructive action, to me that's really simple, because if I have a disease centered in my mind, in myself, and my ego, then the only thing that could possibly not cure it, but treat it, is for me to not be in that space, for me to be in a place where I'm considering other people, and I'm letting go of what I want and what I think that I need. You know, it's the only way I'm going to stay safe. And man, I know a lot of people who know a lot about religion who are in the program. And they all tell me, you know, all my knowledge about this thing didn't save me, you know. So I just think it's a really poignant idea. And as someone who has always been proud of having a strong moral philosophy, I like getting slapped awake a little bit by this paragraph. I love you guys, and I will pass with that.
Thank you very much, Ian F. J.D., you're up next, followed by Julie E.B.
Thank you so much. Good morning, everyone. Shay D. I'm gratefully newly recovered in California. Thank you, moderator, for your service, and to everyone who shared this morning. I'm going back to the text where it says, to be vital, faith must be accompanied by self-sacrifice and unselfish constructive action. And then further down, the fact that however deep his faith and knowledge, he could not have applied it, or he would not drink. I was a believer as a child. I thought, you know, I had a very close relationship with God, knew God loved me, and still I ate myself through decades and decades of my life. And it was not until I surrendered to recognizing that I was powerless over this illness, after years of humiliation and experimentation, I was humbled enough to admit that I cannot do this. And so I had like a very deep, deep faith and years of pleading, God help me, God help me. But it wasn't until I took the action of stepping into the 12 steps and surrendering and admitting, God, I can't, but you can, and I will do the work that expresses in my faith that you can and I cannot. And only then did recovery become possible. And the unselfish gift of time that the women and men on this line have offered me and demonstrated to me through their faith in action and sharing and continuing to share experience, strength, and hope in talking with me and helping me has just been that example to me of living that pushes me forward in my recovery. And I'm just so very grateful. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Shay D. Julie E.B. is up next, and after Julie, we'll take another line up on page 93, paragraph 2. We started the eighth line down, picking up from yesterday. It begins with, to be vital, faith must be accompanied by self-sacrifice and constructive action, and ends with general principles common to most denominations. Please share with us, Julie E.B. Pretty sure I heard Julie be in the lineup. Are you there? Star 1 to unmute.
Hello. Yeah, hi, this
Hello.
Is Julie Eby, gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs. I love that this said spiritual experiences and with a plural, vital, yes. I have the gift of several times where my higher power has righted me, has brought me to a center. For me, it's almost like a place of emotional regulation now that I can go back to a higher power who cares and protects me, cares for me and protects me, like the little prayer says right before the steps, you know, with complete abandon. I can just ask. I can go ask to go back to that place of caring and protection, because I can wander away from that, you know, as life happens. And I've had, you know, several challenges lately. I can just go through periods where I need a different experience. I need a different way for my higher power to reach me. And so I'm grateful today that I have this program, that I can take actions, that so many of you are just willing to work those steps, and that I can continue to have, as new life circumstances come, new ways that I can see my higher power working in my life. Or if I can't see it for myself, someone can see it for me. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Julie E.B. Although we value everybody's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared in the last 2 days, since Tuesday, and you'd like to comment on eight lines down in paragraph 2 on page 93, please press star 1 to unmute and give me your name.
There Justin B. in Washington.
Katie,
Barbara E. from New Jersey.
Well, I heard Barbara E., but I'm going to put you a few names down. I heard a couple names come in together before that. And so who else had
Katie F.
I heard Katie F.
Justin
heard somebody
B.
Z.
in Washington.
Justin B., I heard you. Okay. And was there somebody with a Z at the end of their name? Or
Suri C.
Suri C. Okay, Suri C. I think you're the first person I heard. All right, I've got Suri C., Justin B., Barbara H., Kate F. Anybody else want to get in this lineup?
Becky T. from Idaho.
Becky T. And I think there might be room for one more.
I believe it was Barbara E., not H.
I did, yeah. I caught that, Barbara. Thank you. Thank you so much for making sure, though. Yeah. Okay, this is what I've got. I've got Suri C., Justin B., Barbara E., Kate F., and Becky T. And we'll see if there's room for one more at the end of this lineup. Okay, so Suri C., please share with us, and you'll be followed by Justin B.
Hi, Suri C. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can. You sound great.
Thank you. The sentence that I got stuck on, or that I got stopped on, was admit that he probably knows more about it than you do, but call to his attention the fact that how deep his faith and knowledge he could not have applied it or he would not drink. And it's so funny because I had a hard time understanding that sentence because there's a double negative in that sentence. He could not have applied it or he would not drink. What does that mean? So I am Cerise, compulsive overeater. I am not recovered. I'm stuck in the 1-2-3 dance, waltz, or whatever you want to call it. But it's funny because as much as I have a very strong religion, I also have a very weak program. And he could not have applied it. He could not have applied his religion or he would not drink. If religion was going to be the answer to the problem that I have with my brain, it can't be without religion, but it can't be or without an understanding of a higher power, because I am powerless. I have complete powerlessness here. But it hasn't been sufficient. Meaning, even the actions that I have in my prayers, I have to say that for me, as a compulsive overeater, I have had more success at waking up before, you know, waking up in time to listen to this line and listen to all the recovered voices on this line than I have getting up to pray. This has been my prayer. This has, I'm embarrassed to say it because as religious as I am, you know, my prayers should do it for me. They should be able to help me. But this line, these recovered voices, all of these people who know my problem and have been through, been in the trenches and trudged this road, you have been my voice of reason. So he could not have applied it or he would not drink. Somehow my broken brain does not apply religion the way that I want to, that I need to have it applied. Does not apply my understanding of my higher power the way that I need it. So, or I would not drink or I would not eat the way that I'm eating even this morning. And I am just so grateful to the fact that I can call in and this is my prayer. Your voices are a part of my prayer and I am eternally grateful and I could never repay it. And I just hope that as I recover, it'll move closer to the ability to do service in return. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Cerise. Justin B., you're up next, followed by Barbara E.
Good morning. Hey, this is Justin B., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in the state of Washington. The miracle of recovery is real in my life, and I'm grateful, beyond grateful for that. And this passage today hit me in a couple of places. I'm going to allude or read a couple of these things. Perhaps your story will help him see where he has failed to practice the very precepts he knows so well. He could not, the faith line, his faith and knowledge was not sufficient. You know, for me, faith and knowledge is equated to spoken word. And I can spin a tale. I can talk in circles. I can manipulate and justify and everything through words. And, you know, no matter how much I practice my faith, no matter how much I practice my practice speaking my faith, no matter how much I practice speaking my recovery, until I put it into action, until I, the line above is to be vital, faith must be accompanied by self-sacrifice and unselfish constructive action. Until my feet follow what my words say, what my voice says, until I, to use a religious word, until I consecrate myself to the God of my understanding and actually working rather than just saying, it's all empty. And not only does this work for me in recovery, but it works in my faith practice too. You know, for so long, I was just like the person here who knew it all, who said it all, but didn't do any of it. Looking good on the outside and on the inside, a disaster. But as I apply these principles in my life, God does for me that which I could not do for myself. I could sure say for myself, but I couldn't do it for myself. And now as I align myself with the God of my understanding, most of the time my feet follow where my mouth leads. And hopefully I lead more often with my feet than I do with my mouth as time goes on. Anyways, I'm Justin. I'm gratefully recovered. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you very much, Justin B. Barbara E., you're up next, followed by Kate F. Please share with us, Barbara.
Good morning, everyone. This is Barbara E. in sunny New Jersey, at least for a while. And I'm so grateful to be with you, and thank you for doing service. Well, for me, God is not a religion. It's a relationship. When I came into Overeaters Anonymous, all I wanted to do was lose weight. I didn't want to be spiritually and emotionally changed. I just had a weight problem. I was well over 100 pounds overweight, and I'm very short. And I gained and lost weight 9 times before. The God I didn't know I needed, the God I didn't believe in, led me to Overeaters Anonymous. And I realize today I am an addict. I always will be an addict. I may be recovered or recovering. I don't care which word we use, one day at a time. But I know tomorrow I'm going to wake up an addict all over again. So I have to use every tool in my toolbox, imperfectly, yes, imperfectly. And if I slip and forget to use the tool, forget and react rather than respond in a kind and gentle way, I say, Barbara, my higher power says, Barbara, it's a life lesson, not a loss. It's not a dead end. It's just a detour. If you learn something, then it's worth it. And I know that in our invitation to you, it says it all. We're in the clutches of a dangerous illness, and willpower and emotional health and self-confidence, which some of us had once possessed, and I thought I had it, were no defense against it. But that's what I learned. I need to learn to be humble and just be one among many, not feel part of, but feel apart. Sorry, not feel apart from, but a part of, because this is a beautiful membership. And if I call you or you call me and we talk program, that's a meeting. And I never want to come to a meeting where the door is locked and I'm groping for the key, because I need the key to unlock the door. And the way for me to do that is to sponsor and be sponsored, and to go to meetings where I listen, because when I listen, I learn so much from you. So I heard the other day, the opposite of addiction is connection. I've probably heard it a million times, but I can never hear it too much, because I'm one of you. I'm just another bozo on the bus. I'm not the pilot of the airplane. I'm just me. Thank you all. I pass.
Thank you very much, Barbara E. Kate F., you are up next, followed by Becky T. Please share with us, Kate.
This is Katie S., as in Sam.
Oh, Katie. Gosh. I'm so sorry. Please go ahead. From North.
The part that struck me was, to be vital, faith must be accompanied by self-sacrifice and unselfish constructive action. I've been very selfish and self-centered in my behavior with food, and a lot of my life, you know, a lot of trauma in my life. So it's turned me to avoid people, I'm 9 days abstinent now. I just started the program, and I'm reading this about being unselfish, and I'm thinking, yikes, you know, how am I going to do that? You know, how am I going to come out of my self-imposed isolation? How am I going to be, willing to help others? And I have been making calls, and I watched the lady who's helping me get started. She's not my sponsor, but she's helping me get my feet wet. And she's so giving. She shows me things. She talks to me. We spend an hour a week together, blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking, you know, this is what I need. And it's frightening. And I just need to come out of myself and reach out to other people and try to help them. Try to help them, because I believe it'll help me too. So thank you so much, everybody, for your sharing and for your kindness and your reaching out. And I'll sign off now. Thank you.
Thank you, KDS. Where did you say you're calling from? Katie? KDS? Okay. Becky T, you're up next, and after Becky will... Oh, North Carolina, Katie?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. Welcome. So glad you're here. Thank you for sharing today.
Thank you.
Okay. Becky T, you're up next, and after Becky, we'll have time for one, possibly two more shares. Please share with us, Becky.
Hi, this is Becky Tuttle from Idaho, and I had an intense relationship with God, lived my whole life sort of around God, at least that's what I thought, and what I know now coming into this program, I knew it before, that's why I had to come in, I had to find some way to get relief from what was going on inside of me. I now know that my power is my plans, my assessments, my understandings, my perceptions. All of that is death to me, because myself is only myself, and it revolves around me and how I see things. And I look back at all of the stuff that I perceived in those times when I thought I was doing what God wanted me to do, and how self-focused it truly was, and about how good I looked or how good a job I did even how good I could serve. It was an abandonment, I thought, of myself, but never my power. And so today, the war inside of me is turning my power, my visions, my purpose, my whatever, over to Him, and allowing Him to actually change me on the inside. And I have experienced that in various levels, especially in neutrality, when in very strong, horrible situations, like when my husband died, and again when my son died. I know I can't do this. There is no self with enough power to be able to do what needs to happen. And when I found that I could be held by God, I could look up and say, I really need to be held right now. The peace would come, the holding would come, and my craziness built on my power and my perceptions was calmed. And I still have a long way to go to live in that world, but I have visited it enough to know that it's worth all the stuff we have to do. It's got to be worth it. Just putting down that self is the biggest battle I have. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very, very much, Becky T. Sorry for your losses. Okay, so we're commenting on page 93, paragraph 2, 8 lines down. And if you have, though we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day, and that in order that others might share their experience too. So we have time for just one more share today, I believe. So would anybody like to take that? Star one to unmute. I'd love to hear your experience, strength, and hope.
star one to unmute. Give me your name. Would love to hear you if you'd like to share. Any takers out there?
Joy.
Hello, my name.
Okay, I heard Joy, and thank you for the other person that came on too. So, Joy, what's the first initial of your last name?
Joy B from California.
Share with us. Thank you.
I find how grateful I am for this program. I must tell you that I listen to no less than 2 to 3 meetings per day. I started 4 in the morning, and it's been a life-changing experience for me. So I'm grateful for your service this morning, for all the services in the past, for whomever touches the button that starts the recording, everything, because I use it all. And one of the things I find is my reluctance to outreach. I have a sponsor who calls me no matter what. If I don't call her, she is wonderful in the sense of kind of not pursuing me, but certainly sensing that I'm going through incredible times and disappointment with myself and self-flagellating and the whole isolation tango going on over here. And I am grateful for this program because of the outreach, and yet I need to unstingy. I'm having confession moments here. I'm assuming all of you can be priests and listen. I need to call. What is my problem that I just can't pick up a telephone and call? What reluctance do I have? I've only called a few people, a gentleman in Southern California who came up with a change I need to make in my thought, and a couple of other people, but that's all. And every day there's that reluctance. I work very hard on my relationship with God. I've always had one, and this program has encouraged me to do more. And I've definitely nurtured that with meditation, with reading the big book, with doing my steps, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But what I can tell you is the person who said that all isn't going to work for you is correct, because I'm not as abstinent as I need to be. And I think it rests solely on my unwillingness, reluctance, stinginess, self-centeredness, whatever keeps me from outreaching and picking up the phone. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very, very much, Joy B. Glad you had an opportunity to share. All right. So we will now close the meeting with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Julie E.B. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you can't transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to His fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then.